Hello, and welcome to The Alt Left.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode 6 of The Alt Left. Today is December 30th as we are recording. This will be coming about after the new year. So happy New Year's to everyone listening. Today we're going to be talking about the stimulus bill that's currently still being fought over as it stands as of today's date. And we're going to talk about what's in it, what's not in it, what are the truths to it, what are the misconceptions and the lies. This is important because remember, those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. Thank you for coming back today, everyone. I again am your host, Chris. With me is my boy, Matty Cakes.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back.
And the good Reverend Dr. K is joining us.
Good evening, everyone. Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Holidays are over. Now we're just waiting for Valentine's Day.
That's not a holiday.
If it's not a feast holiday of Christian murder and martyrdom, what is?
Touche.
Easter?
Touche.
I guess you could call that martyrdom. Yeah, fair enough. So anyway, let's talk about this. We've got a stimulus bill on the docket in all four houses of Congress. And what do y'all think about it? What are our thoughts?
Well, there's a couple of things I'd like to talk about first.
No differences of opinion nationwide at all about it.
None at all.
Yeah.
So first couple of things is there's two bills. There is a government spending bill. And there is a COVID or pandemic relief bill. And we call that pandemic relief bill a stimulus bill, which I still think is a bad word for it, but that's what everybody's calling it.
And then the federal bill is the omnibus, right?
Yeah, the omnibus. And what that really is it tells the government what it has to spend for the year for every major department. Including the military, the federal government, you know, the parks, the, you know, NASA, all of that. It's all of those things all in one bill so that they all know what they have to spend for the year.
And that's pretty standard. This is something the government does regularly just to keep everything going. And I think it's
important
everyone understands. The reason we're talking about them and making this distinction is one of the first things you're going to see a lot of people ranting and raving about is there's things for military spending in this. And what you have to understand about that is in order to speed things along and get the stimulus through, it was tacked on to this omnibus bill. And so that's why you're going to see a lot of weird funding for things that aren't related to COVID relief.
Yeah. And they really are two different things.
I would actually like to make a point here that, yes, they are 100% two different things, but I think it's actually kind of opened up a good dialogue here, because while we're talking about Mitch McConnell believing that $2,000 is too much to give people who haven't been able to buy groceries for a year, we're also putting $2.3 billion for another Virginia-class attack submarine to be built. Like,
yeah.
Now, these are coming for different reasons. Like, there is a spending bill for military construction that happens every year with billions of dollars. But at this time, we're being told there literally aren't enough pennies in the piggy bank to buy people food. And yet we've got $2.3 billion for another submarine that we don't need.
Actually, I don't think that we're being told that there aren't enough pennies. I think they just don't give a shit. And they don't want to give the pennies to the rest of us. They want another submarine.
Well, they don't give a shit. You're correct, but that's not what they're saying. They are telling us there's not enough money. It's not true. It's a bullshit lie, but that is the lie they're passing.
Yeah. That's classic conservatism right there. It's when it comes to healthcare, feeding the poor, you know, doing anything that's going to help the American people, there's never enough cash. But whenever we got to go blow up somebody in another country that nobody even knows their name, tons of money to do that.
Oh yeah. Plenty of money to go blow up.
Or if big corporations need a handout.
Yeah, 2008, we couldn't handle the market crash, but we had plenty of money for Afghanistan and Iraq.
Well, and that's actually where the Republicans want to spend their money, is they want to give it to corporations. They want to give us $600 and give a whole bunch of money to quote-unquote businesses and corporations, because they're still living under this idea that trickle-down economics work, and they don't. It's been proven for many, many years.
supply side economics has been is still popular.
I know, which is the insanity to me, really, is that they still hold on to this belief that that this trickle down effect of if we give money to corporations and we give them tax breaks, that they will give us the people who are working more money and they will create more jobs. And it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't work.
Well, in defense of conservatives, they're half right. There is definitely something trickling down.
Yeah, and it's bullshit.
We are getting trickled upon. It's just not with money.
It's not money. It's not jobs. It's not security. It's not health benefits. It's not anything. We are literally only getting screwed.
Yeah, we're getting Mitch's trickle.
Well, because when the wealthy have money, they hoard it. That's how they get and stay wealthy. They don't get wealthy by giving money to people below them. They hold on to it. They hoard it. And they use it to create more money for themselves.
Which is the funniest part, because they don't want to give money directly towards people. But this is a consumer-based economy. The poorer you are, the less likely you are to hold on to a single penny of the stimulus money. Nothing stimulates the economy better than putting money in the pocket of consumers.
That's also the reason why it's not a stimulus. It's a pandemic relief bill.
But it is a stimulus. Even if it's not being called that, it is a stimulus bill. It doesn't matter. We can call it a unicorn bill. It's still a stimulus bill.
Sure, but I think that's the reason, you know, they call it a stimulus because they're giving away some money, but it's really just allowing our country to continue to run. And the way that the Republicans think that that is best achieved is by giving it to corporations, and the Democrats want to give $2,000, which is still a fucking drop in the fucking bucket.
It's a laughable amount.
Yeah,
it's a laughable amount, to say the very least. I don't know about you, $2,000 will, you know, do some good for me, but it doesn't alleviate the issues that I have or you have or anybody else has long term.
What if every American worker who made less than $100,000, right, in this year, got a $20,000 stimulus check? That would immediately revive the economy. Everyone would pay rent. Everyone would pay insurance. Everyone would buy groceries, get their cars fixed. Like, Amazon stock would go up. I mean, like, literally, it would revive the entire economy. Nothing works better than giving poor people money. And it's what is always the least amount on these packages.
Yep. Yeah, of course.
Every time. Every time.
It absolutely is.
I mean, there's a reason why the poor, like the middle class down, is losing money and going through untold hardships through coronavirus, and all the companies are getting richer. Amazon is seeing record profits. Like, all these companies are, these big corporations that we're constantly giving handouts to, are doing amazing during this virus. Because first of all, they've got the money to do it. Second of all, they've already built themselves with infrastructure to deal with a situation like this. And third of all, they're getting government handouts right and left. They're going to be just fine.
And let's face a very sad fact. I don't subscribe to pendulum theory. I know you do. But this is an example of it. This is the pendulum swinging back the other way. The middle class is a fluke. It was never meant to exist. Capitalism doesn't allow for a middle class. It should not exist. A middle class should only exist when you are dealing with royalty. What we've done is we've gotten rid of the royals, and so all we have is the bourgeois and the workers. And after World War II, we had this giant war economy that created this wealthy middle class again of average Americans who could actually live comfortably by working full time. And it was amazing, and we took it as the standard for the world, but it's existed for less than a century, and it's disappearing rapidly. Not like it's starting to shrink. It's been shrinking since the 80s, and it's going to continue to do so until it's gone. The middle class is a fluke. It's a fart in the wind. It is not meant to be permanent, and it is going to completely disappear.
Well, that's what we're always talking about. Bernie Sanders, us, anybody that's seriously on the left, when we talk about growing income inequality, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's the haves in this country who have always have are getting more and more and more. And the ones that are comfortable and lower are getting less and less and less. And the worst part is the ones that have the money have got all the ones without money fighting for scraps instead of looking at the ones that have got it and taking it back from them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The amount of people who are able to keep a roof over their head and feed their families while working full time is a shrinking percentage every day, pandemic or not.
Absolutely.
And the people with money have got them so terrified they're going to lose what they have. And they've got it, and they've got them terrified of it by pointing at the ones that have less than them and saying, you see those people down there? They're the ones that are taking your money, not us. Meanwhile, you know, CEOs have like increased their salaries, something like 600% in the last like 20 years or some bullshit like that.
Yeah, that mentality has existed since slavery. It was meant to make poor whites fear poor blacks because like, hey, you may be having a bad time, but at least you're not that guy. And that has never left American politics. People now literally, it's like, I don't vote Republican because they give me more. I vote Republican because they'll make others have less than me. It's this, and it's the most American thing ever. It's this spite of others to make yourself feel better rather than actually increasing the tide for all boats.
No, and that's absolutely true. So what I wanted to talk about first was, okay, so what exactly is this relief bill? First thing is UI benefits, so unemployment. It continues the additional $300 per week that the federal government gave out in the first round, and that's for an additional 11 weeks. So that'll take most people through the end of February, March, assuming that they're still unemployed, which most of them are going to be. Second thing is it gives everyone that quote-unquote stimulus check of minimum of $600 and maximum of $2,000, which the way that that stimulus works is that's actually more of a rebate on your taxes. So you already gave that money to the government. They're just giving it back to you. So don't think that it's like any part of the government actually giving you money. It's your money to begin with.
Yeah, 100%.
And that that $600 has a scale of how much you get depending on how much you make. Under $75,000, which is the majority of us here in the United States, are going to get the full $600, or depending on if they actually pass something in through the Senate, a $2,000 total. So it'll be an additional $1,400, not an additional $2,000 totaling $26,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Next thing it does is it gives a child tax credit and earned income tax credit on your taxes for this year. Also, a charitable contribution tax credit, flexible savings account tax credit, and then a payroll tax deferral, which are all kind of pointless, if you ask me. It's going to save you a few hundred dollars, maybe, on your taxes.
Well, the payroll tax deferral means it also doesn't have to come out of your checks right now.
Correct, but it doesn't save you anything.
Yes, but there's a lot of people who are trying to feed children who need that cash right now. I'm not saying it's a good solution. I'm saying it's not saying it's not anything. It's something.
Correct. And don't, that's, I wasn't trying to diminish it. I was just trying to say that like all of these measures save a little bit.
Yeah.
Total, you know, but it defers that April 15th payment to the end of the year to December 31st, 2021 is when it is due. So, I mean, that's a good thing. Absolutely. For all of us, that if you do owe some taxes, that you won't have to pay that until that time. The real meat of the bill is the $900 billion in PPP. That's the Paycheck Protection Program that all of our wonderful corporations and restaurants and sports teams and churches abused and got, you know, millions of dollars that was unneeded and didn't leave enough money for people that actually needed it. That was wonderful. So we're going to do another round of that.
Which incidentally, if we had just paid people to stay home monthly and completely said, you don't get to evict anyone, you don't get to foreclose on a mortgage, we're just not making those payments and you're going to have to deal with it, banks, that would have worked way better than what we're doing.
But that would make bankers and landlords cry, and we don't do that in America.
So the next thing is there's an economic injury disaster loan program. So basically, if you've had some sort of injury to your small business, you know, there's some arbitration or debt relief payment for that. Employee retention tax credit. So they're going to give a tax credit to businesses for keeping their employees, not firing people. Low income housing tax credit, employer side social security payroll tax credits, and then deduction for business meals. and then it extends some taxes. So, and there's some other stuff tacked in there for educational, medical, nutritional, and transit relief. But those are not the majority of those bills. The real bulk of that is in the $900 billion. Mostly that money is for the PPP loans, which in theory is great, but in actuality, it gets abused.
Ridiculously so. Like, churches are taking advantage of it, which they shouldn't be getting it. Companies that don't need it at all. I think Amazon even got a couple of them, didn't they?
You know what? I'm not sure about Amazon, but there was a lot of restaurants that got them. There was a lot of sports teams that applied for them and got them to the tune of like $10 or $40 million. Like, ridiculous amounts.
Yeah.
They did change a few of the parameters. Originally, it was 500, or if your business had more than 500 employees, that you couldn't apply. And that's per location, not per total company.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why Amazon probably could get some of those loans. So they changed that from 500 to 300 this year.
Yeah, okay.
Or this time, not this year.
And Amazon, I just remember a bunch of high profile companies that were not having any issues in COVID were applying for and getting loans with.
Oh yeah, you know, I mean, dude, the NBA and NFL got loans.
Yeah,
yeah, but that's what I'm saying is, yeah, they've never needed it.
And again, I'm not really opposed to this idea as a whole. Like, I get what the idea is trying to do, and I'm not against that in theory. It's just the execution of these things always ends up with the people who don't need the money getting it, and the people who do need the money not getting it.
And it's because the big corporations take far more of the share because they have a bunch of high-priced lawyers that know how to fill in all the boxes to maximize the benefit from it. Where, you know, I personally know some businesses, you know, a business that got like $4,500 and that was it. That was all their business. They have an actual retail location, but they didn't qualify for any more than $4,500. So $4,500 10 months ago.
Mm-hmm. But again, this is the system we're in and that we support. And that's, and again, I and in no way do I disagree with you that that is wrong. But it's like, you either have to say that capitalism is wrong in its entirety, or you have to then accept this. But you can't have both. This is the inherent system of capitalism, to hire the best tax lawyers you find to find the best loopholes to increase profit. There is zero ethical consumption under capitalism for a reason. Everything is exploited. The people, the products, the people at the top, the people at the bottom. It doesn't matter. And so it's, I don't know, it's like owning a Ferrari and then complaining that it drives fast. It's like, well, no, it doesn't work that way. If you floor it, it's going to do it. And if you have late stage capitalism, you're going to have an exploitation by every single government program by the wealthiest and most powerful in the economy.
And okay, so Chris, what would you say? Because this is a common response I hear to something like this. Like, what you're saying is, that's not real capitalism. That's crony capitalism. Real capitalism wouldn't allow for this because the market would just fix all of these bad actors.
I would say that's the same as saying, that's not real steak, that's cow meat. All capitalism is crony capitalism. Capitalism is the system of extorting capital through any means necessary. In fact, all regulation against capitalism goes against capitalism. True capitalism is zero government interference. It's the free trade of commerce. And the idea that the worst people in the world, for the most selfish of motivations possible, are somehow going to act for the greater good of mankind is the most ridiculous, stupid statement I've ever heard. You know, what's really funny is that typically the arguments against socialism are actually arguments against capitalism. People say, well, socialism doesn't work because of human nature. It's like, capitalism is the exploitation of the worst parts of our human nature.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Well, and I also hate that argument too, is because people that will make that argument that are saying it like in favor of capitalism are also people that will make the argument that all social programs should be done by charities and things like that. And I'm like, you do realize that those programs that are done by charities rely solely on human nature and the idea of being good. Like, you're in one hand saying that human nature doesn't allow for this stuff, and then making the argument that we need things that rely on human nature in order to manage these programs. It's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Yeah, 100%. So that's what I would say to that argument, is it's the most ridiculous garbage argument there is.
Yeah. Well, it's also capitalism by nature favors money over anything else. In a capitalist system, there are going to be people that come out on top, and those people are going to have control. The free market isn't going to fix bad things when the people at the top control the market. Okay. When they control the flow of information, when they control all the resources, they're going to rig the market to favor them. You won't have a free market. Like, capitalism doesn't lead to a free market. You can't have free market.
Eventually, it is the worship of accumulating capital. Like, that's what it is. It is about accumulating capital and to accumulate the most capital possible. You know, what is being a Christian? It is the worship of Christ. What is being a socialist? It is supporting the society as a whole. What is being a capitalist? It is supporting the gain of capital. Like, it's not rocket science. Like, and again, you can say, I like capitalism. I want to be rich. Mine, gimme, 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 fuck everyone else. And it's like, I mean, I disagree with you, but it's like, hey, 2 points for honesty, man. Because that's what capitalism is. It is, I believe everyone should have the opportunity to exploit as many as possible and to fight it out in a dog-eat-dog system to see who gets the most stuff for them and their family. I don't agree with that philosophy. I think that's terrible. I think every lesson we learn in kindergarten tells us why that's bad. But at least if you're going to admit what it is, fair, you know, I'll give it to you. But if you're going to sit here and say that capitalism's good because the market will solve problems and make things fair, it's like, in what way is there any capitalist system that exists to make anything fair? And I think this stimulus, you know, whether it's the omnibus package or the actual stimulus for UI payments, for that kind of thing, for the stimulus checks that are going to people, it will also be exploited because they're all under this same system. And even if we have these measures, which do go against the philosophy of capitalism, these are socialistic measures. They are tiny drops of socialism in a bucket of capitalism. It's going to be diluted. It's going to be exploited.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that.
But I think one of the dangers we have in this, and again, this one I'm actually far more for, because this is a direct relief package for a global pandemic. But something we need to check out here is, this is not the first time this has happened. We haven't had a pandemic like this in 100 years. But we have a bailout system now. We've established that that is what happens, that when the worst people run major industries into the ground, we as taxpayers will bail them out, and we will do so gladly. I mean, look at the subprime mortgage crisis. Oh, right?
God. Oh, you fucked you us know? All over, but here's a big wad of cash to save you.
$700 billion in TARP, dude, and not a penny of it went to the American citizen. You know, had I been president, which never would happen, but had I been in Obama's shoes, right, there is an easy solution. Take that money and apply it to people's mortgages. You give loan forgiveness with that money. And that way, hey, the banks got their money. People kept their houses. Like, nope, it was no strings attached. Here's a bunch of fucking money. Enjoy your parachutes. And it's like, every time the kid burns the house down, you buy him a new birthday cake and you expect the kid to stop burning the house down.
Yeah.
You know, we were told that taxpayers were stepping in temporarily to prop up the economy, and that if the banks failed, the whole world was going to die. Dogs and cats would live together and it'd be awful, right? And what we did was the opposite. We committed American taxpayers to this unwavering, dogmatic, blind support of bailing out Wall Street banks every time. Goldman Sachs, Citigroup. These guys have changed no policies since 2008. And the government has proved they will do anything to bail these industries out. It's all Trump talked about. It was the stock market, the NYSE. It's all they cared about. And so whereas I agree that, yes, this stimulus is necessary for valid reasons, we've already established a system where it will be exploited by the worst. And we're already seeing that. We had a larger bill, which was already exploited, where small businesses crumbled while sports teams got gigantic payments, investors got huge payments, and there's still a lot more we don't know about yet, because the investigations are going to take another year or two into how much was stolen from this bill by the wealthy. We see, you know, we see Jeff Bezos get richer. We saw Elon Musk, that dirty son of a bitch who likes to accuse heroes of being pedophiles and can't keep his fucking head from going insane. And he's this, you know, this kid from a parthied wealth of child slave labor. He becomes the second richest guy in the world. Everyone's like, oh, Joe, he's so great. He's so great. Elon Musk. He makes rocket ships. Yay. Fuck Elon Musk and fuck everyone like him. And these guys are literally taking money out of the mouths of the poor. And so while the stimulus bill is good, I am under no thought process that even a recognizable minority of it is going to go to people who actually need it. We're going to get a $600 bill, which, by the way, is not a stimulus. It's a message. We're being told to go fuck ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the $600 is like giving a homeless man a quarter.
It's like giving your waiter a $1 tip.
And even worse than that, it's trying to convince the waiter that he should be grateful for getting the dollar in the first place.
It's an insulting amount that we're going to be getting here. And again, and that's why I kind of bring up, you know, that Virginia class attack submarine for $2.3 billion. It's like the money exists. 100%. The money is there.
The money absolutely exists.
Well, it always has. I mean, but that's the issue, I think, is Republicans generally, I shouldn't even just focus on them because Dems do it too. But by and large, the people saying that we cannot do this will always say that, will always point to there not being enough money. And as they're saying that, they're sitting there and taking piles and piles of money and putting it to things like war and rich people that don't need it. And there's always money for things that are awful.
Yeah, look what Mitch McConnell said. He straight said, like, I don't want to pay people to sit at home and not work. And that's the mentality, is that everyone just wants a check and they don't want to work. And it's like, people are trying to feed their fucking kids.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with not wanting to work. It has everything to do with the fact that there is nowhere for them to work.
Well, and as we're talking about this, just so everyone's aware, Bernie Sanders right now is on the floor filibustering the defense bill in order to just get a vote on this stimulus package. And I'm following it as we're recording this so I can keep up to date as we're talking about this. He just kind of owned Mitch McConnell by pointing out the fact that of the 25 poorest counties in this country, 10 of them reside in Kentucky.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. Kentucky, the state that he's a senator of, takes more money out of the federal government than any other state for its poor.
You're not wrong. Kentucky absolutely is one of the biggest draws of federal aid in this country. But that's kind of the point. That's why this is so despicable. He was elected by the people of his state to represent them. His job is literally to fight for the people that elected him, and he is doing the exact opposite of that, and they keep letting him do it. Like, that's the thing. Like, if you want a better example of people voting against their own best interests, Kentucky, I don't think you can find a better example than Kentucky. He constantly shits on them and then acts as if they should be grateful to receive his feces.
Yeah, 100%.
In Georgia, you also have the two incumbent senators that, previous to all of this recent relief bill, said, no, we're not giving $2,000. We only support the $600. All of a sudden have come out either yesterday or today, the 29th or the 30th today, and said that, oh yeah, now we support the $2,000. And it's because it's convenient and they have to, because they're worried about not being reelected.
Yeah, it's political suicide not to.
Yeah.
Well, also don't forget the patron saint of Cheetos also came out in favor of it as well.
Well, he was the one who, after the Dems had finally agreed to the $600, who sparked the change to $2,000 anyway.
Yeah.
Where the Dems were finally like, okay, well, all of a sudden now we got to make this other little small bill that would ride on the first that would increase it from that $600 to $2,000.
I mean, but it's politics. Like, Trump is pissed.
Of course it's politics.
Tantrum. Like, he doesn't actually care about the American people, but he knew this would piss off everyone that isn't supporting him and trying to steal the election. So he shat all over the conservatives, and the Dems, playing politics, took it and ran with it. Oh, you're for what we want now? Okay, then let's do it and make it happen.
Well, and I think they should have. I think they should have ran with it, because it's their opportunity to finally get what they want, except that it's a little it's too little too fucking late. You know, it's $600 or $2,000 after 10 fucking months.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't do anything about all the people that are unemployed, underemployed, not being able to feed their families, not being able to pay their mortgages. And yeah, they can't be, like we said before, can't be kicked out, but it sure is not fucking helping them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it brings us to something I think we need to talk about too, is the Dems' culpability in this, because let's be honest, before Trump even came out and said anything, the $600 was a done deal. That was it. It was going to be signed. It was going to go through. And that is laughable. And that is something that Pelosi and Schumer, as soon as it was agreed to, were on Twitter, on every social media account, talking about how great this deal was, how historic it was, what a great job they did compromising to get this bill through. And it's a joke.
And that's the weakness of the Democrats. Look what Trump was able to do. Because that's the thing is what we need to look at here is that, I mean, obviously Trump doesn't give a shit, but he did it, and he did it to sabotage the Republican Party, because my personal belief here is that Trump is trying to build his own Bull Moose Party. I think he's actually actively trying to tear the Republican Party apart to make it a Trump party. I don't think he'll succeed.
But it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I don't think he'll succeed, but the both parties are falling apart, and I think he is doing his part to take that Republican support away and bring it to himself because he's a narcissist. But how easy was that? With one tweet, the guy goes, I'm threatening a veto. Americans need 2,000. And the Republican Party goes into disarray. And it showcases not only the weakness of the Republican Party, where this one orange fascist can just turn them on their heads with a tweet, and that the Democrats, who have been saying how great this was, Trump puts one tweet out there and then they're willing to admit their bill is garbage. It's like, if everything you're doing is this weak, it shows that both parties, if this is such evidence, don't give a shit about the American citizen.
Agreed. But it wasn't one tweet. He also actually had a speech where he talked about it as well.
But first he did a tweet, and that's what got everything started. With one tweet, he immediately got the Republicans going at each other.
His tweets, I mean, as much as they're a way of communicating with his base, it's also his guideline. When he gets a good response on a tweet, then he starts taking it to his speeches and his rallies and things like that. It's his way of gauging how well something he says is going to be received by his base. And it's again, I hate Trump. He's a piece of shit. But it's a smart fucking tactic. He's using technology to his advantage in a way no other politician has really done. And they're all having to catch up. Everyone else is now picking up on his game. And it sucks, because this is the thing. People like Trump should never be a leader in any respect. It sucks having to point out where they're successful. Even if we acknowledge that a broken clock is right twice a day, it still sucks having to look at it and be like, other people are now following his example. It sucks. Shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, the person with the best idea for stimulus is Donald Trump. Let that shit sink in for a second.
Yeah. And it shows to what we've been talking about. You know, we've said one of the biggest criticisms we've had of the left on here is that Dems like Pelosi and Schumer, whatever good they've done in their career, I'm not trying to take that away. They are, by policy and by nature, center-right corporate shills. They care just as little about the American people as any Republican does, and they're just as beholden to corporate interests. And I've said it once, and I'll say it again. When center-right corporate Dems, quote unquote, compromise with right-wing conservatives, the right still wins. And when the right wins, the American people lose every time.
Absolutely. So Mitch McConnell has introduced his own bill that bumps that $600 to $2,000. But what it also does is it repeals Section 230, which is the legal liability protection for internet platforms. And where that actually matters is that legal liability protection allows platforms like Twitter to censor. Okay. And that's important because Trump uses his platform to tell all kinds of lies. And Twitter has started basically with a banner that says, this is not correct, or it's a lie, or I can't remember exactly how it's worded. And then his bill also creates a commission to study election issues, basically fraud or other things. So he wants to now be the big damn hero with his bill that goes from 600 to 2,000, but sneak in these other things on the side.
Yeah, but that's how they've been doing this whole thing. Trump's entire process of begging for money has been to enrich himself and his family. And, you know, I mean, this entire thing is a Ponzi scheme to steal money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, all of a sudden now, you know, Mitch McConnell doesn't want to vote on the, you know, the Democrats' bill to go from 600 to 2,000 because that's literally all it does. Is now he's got his own bill that he wants to get in front of the Senate and have passed, so that the House can then get it after they've passed it and say, well, no, we're not going to pass it, so then that they can be the bad guys again.
Yeah.
You know, it's another thing that it's like, it's more of the same bullshit. It's like, he doesn't actually give a shit about giving people $2,000. What he wants to do is satisfy Trump by taking away this legal liability protection for places like Twitter, and then tax on this other election issues thing as kind of a placation, you know, of, oh, it does these other things too, so that's okay.
Well, I mean, it's politics as usual. That's how both the left and the right do it, is they're constantly striving to get what they want. The point where this is going to backfire, and again, I could be wrong, I hope I'm wrong, but what I predict will happen is kind of what you said. I think the Dems will let the Republicans control the narrative and put all the blame on them for not wanting this. The Dems will do a terrible job of explaining how bad these two provisions are and why it's bullcrap and how he's trying to hold the country hostage because he wants evil bullshit to be passed through the legislation. And eventually one of two things will happen. It will either die, or the Dems will concede and give him this nonsense so that they can continue doing all this horrible crap. Places like Facebook and Twitter and social media, which are now checking all the misinformation, will lose that power. More misinformation will be dealt. And again, in the end, American people may have gotten $2,000, but Republicans will continue to wither away our democracy. We will lose more and more access to vital information that we can trust, which only benefits the right, because they thrive on disinformation. The right thrives on it. The more they can get you to believe absurdities, the more they can get you to commit atrocities.
Well, yeah, they're trying to upend democracy at this point with yep. this bullshit Trump election. I mean, there's no end to it. And we act like it's not, you know, we act like there will be some end to it, that normalcy and sanity will return. It's like, no, it won't. And nothing's going to change. You know, Joe Biden's, you know, promise that everything is going to retain the same is the same. Like, Joe Biden started his. Do you remember when he first launched his first ad to start his presidential campaign?
No, I don't.
I mean, it's so long ago.
He damn near almost sold me. He almost made me a Biden supporter, because he came out and just talked about Trump being a white supremacist. And he talked about the issue of white supremacy and, you know, Trump saying that there was good people on both sides and the fucking tiki torch Nazis. And he went through all that. He made this video about the problem with the whys of white supremacy. And then he's never said a fucking word about it since. The Ku Klux Klan is a domestic terror organization. The Oath Keepers are a domestic terror organization. The Proud Boys are a domestic terror organization. What does he do? He had a perfect opportunity, and he's like, "Oh yeah, you should disavow that." Like, yeah, I want you to disavow the Proud Boys. How about you talk about having them fucking round it up? We literally have Nazis trying to subvert the state in the street, but he's not going to do anything about it. Democratic president and lawyer prosecutor of color Kamala Harris are going to do nothing about the Klan remaining a force to be reckoned with. We had the Oath Keepers try to kidnap and assassinate and execute the governor of a state. And yet we're letting the Oath Keepers just continue on. And it's just funny how if I see two people with masks who happen to be of a darker complexion breaking a window, it's the left and Antifa are the problem, they're terrorists. And it's like, a bunch of white dudes commit actual terrorism, and it's a few bad apples, and it's just, you know, innocent actors, and it's just, you know, people with mental problems and bullshit. These are domestic terror organizations. They need to be treated as such, and they won't be, for the same reason. The Democrats will capitulate every time. They don't want change. They don't want equity. They don't want civil rights for people who need them. They are just as culpable as the Republicans, and we need to start recognizing that the Democrats and the Republicans both benefit equally from white supremacy, and both have a motivation to not end it.
And it's important to let that sink in, because we need to distinguish rhetoric from actual policy. Because one of the ways that Joe Biden got elected was making everyone well aware of how scary and Trump was. And here's something too. Everything bad that is said about Donald Trump is true. It's true. In fact, I think in a lot of ways, he doesn't get enough of the bad stuff pointed at him. That isn't a good reason to continue to vote for the guy that isn't as bad. And that's what we've been doing in this country for years. I mean, remember, you guys have to remember this. Remember when Bush was president and everyone on the left would just go on and on and on about, this is the worst president ever. He's a monster. He's awful. He's going to go down in history as the worst president ever. And then we got Obama, who ran on hope and change, which, don't get me wrong, that message sold all of us. I voted for Obama twice.
Yeah, I got sold on it.
He didn't run on everything's going to stay the same. He didn't run on, I'm going to bomb a bunch of people in foreign countries. He didn't run on, I'm going to basically make it so that the rich keep getting rich and income inequality only grows. He didn't run on any of those things. That's not what any of us voted for, but that's what he gave us. And now we've got Joe Biden, who, in order to win, adopted a lot of nice sounding rhetoric from the progressives, just like Obama did. And he's making everyone feel good about, oh, we got more people of color. Oh, I'm going to get the gay guy as one of my people, you know?
I would actually have to disagree. That was the problem. He didn't even try to co-opt it. Like, he literally put malarkey on his bus and told everyone everything's going to go back to normal. Nothing's going to change. Like, Joe Biden isn't even trying to be a leftist. Yes, you're right. He has participated in tokenism.
Yes.
Where it's like, oh, so he puts a Native American woman as Secretary of Interior to manage national parks and tribal land. But it's like, I don't care what her genetics are. Why didn't you pull someone from AIM? Why didn't you pull someone from an actual tribal government? No, you pulled someone from the federal colonial settler government. So, great. Good job. You put somebody who had already sold out to the system in, you know, Pete Buttigieg, you know, he's, oh look, I've got a gay guy. And it's like, he's a Republican who happens to have a husband.
Yeah.
Like, that's all Pete Buttigieg is, you know, and it's tokenism. That's all it is. I'm good. You know, he announces, I'm going to pick a woman of color to be my vice president. It's like, don't get me wrong. I want more women of color in office, but to just throw out this flat statement that I'm going, that is tokenism. And that's all it is. It is a fake attempt at equity, and it's not equity.
Well, and that's the problem. And when they govern from the center or the center right. And that's what I was trying to get at. It's all the nice words that you hear from him are largely just bullcrap. Because, again, I'm going to remind everyone every chance I get, per Joe Biden's words, nothing will fundamentally change. Period. And that's what we voted in for. And again, I'm sure that, like, a lot of the bullcrap executive orders that Trump initiated are going to get rescinded. We'll start stacking the judiciary with more leftists, and that'll help negate a lot of the damage that Trump has done. And I'm not saying there won't be some good that comes from Joe Biden, but the systemic issues in this country that are really the root of our problems, things like growing income inequality, things like the rise of fascism and racism, and really just the prevalence of white nationalist terror groups in this country, those aren't going to be fixed by Joe. And again, I think what Chris was hitting on is an important point, because, you know, for all the attempts of the right to just, you know, label us as we care about identity politics on the left, we don't. We do. Yes, we absolutely want more people of color, minorities, you know, LGBTQ community members being represented in forms of government. But if from a policy standpoint, all they want to do is govern from the center and keep coming up with the same old ideas, what's the point? It's ideas that really matter. Ideas and representation. You can't have one and forget about the other, because it doesn't matter. It's a hollow victory at that point.
Well, you need to find someone that is both. Someone who has the progressive policies and is gay or is a person of color or is female.
Disagree. All you need is praxis. That's all that matters. That's the thing. You need someone who will carry forth policy of equity.
I wasn't meaning to say that, like, specifically want to choose them because they are those things. Like, when you're looking for that, you can't just look at the white guys or that have those policies. We need to be looking at everyone that has those policies and choose the right fucking person.
Yes, but that doesn't happen until white people who put forth policies of equity happen first. Like, that's just the fact of the matter.
I agree with you.
And we need white people to put through acts that disempower white people.
I agree with you. I wasn't disagreeing with you. I was simply saying that we need people with the progressive policies, and we need all of those other things too. And we need to have the forethought and the idea that you choose the best among all of those, not just the white guy.
Well, yeah, and to give you an example of where this lies, so just to use myself an example. So on my dad's side, my dad's family's been here for years, since the 1800s. I did one of those ancestry things, like early 1800s, they've been here. They were Quakers. They were good people. They've been in America forever, blah, 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 blah. American story. My mom is an immigrant. She immigrated here from Argentina. All right. Now, I only say that because a Joe Biden would look at someone like me and think, oh, his mother was an immigrant. He knows a lot about immigration. He should absolutely be in charge of immigration in some respect. He could definitely speak that. He knows those people's stories. I don't. My upbringing has been 100% American. My mother and her family, 100% integrated. There are a few aspects of my heritage on my mom's side that I know, and a few traditions that we bring over. But by and large, I know nothing of the immigrant experience. I'd be a terrible person to be speaking for them in any capacity. Do I know more than a white person whose both family members have been WASPs in the U.S. since the beginning of colonial times? Sure, absolutely. Should I be speaking for first generation immigrants who have had to struggle in this country from day one and continue to struggle? Abso-fucking-lutely not. I have nothing to say about those experiences because they aren't mine. And a person like Joe Biden would pick me before picking one of them, and that's a problem.
Agreed. I agree with you. That is a problem. I was just trying to say that we need to be picking the right person for the job, regardless of what that is.
Yeah, but the right person for the job isn't one that anyone feels is qualified for it.
I understand that.
What do you mean by that? I didn't quite understand what you were saying there.
I don't believe there's a single human being involved in the United States Congress that is capable of carrying forth the change that we need.
Sure.
This is a capitalistic white supremacist governmental system. It needs to be torn down from the outside. And I don't believe that there's anyone you can draw from its interior that will repair it. We are 100 years beyond a system of reform. We absolutely need portions of the U.S. government to completely collapse at minimum, if not all of it. And we will continue to have these problems as long as that doesn't happen.
Gotcha.
So, whereas, yes, I would agree with Kay that this is tokenism and we need to be looking for policy over anything else. Like, you're 100% correct. I believe that is superior to what is happening now. I still believe it is not a step far enough. I don't believe anybody involved with the federal government is capable of carrying out anything that is not genocidal colonial practices.
And I will agree with you.
Now, I still vote because I still believe in putting effort into doing the least amount of harm, and that is not saying that you cannot be active in politics and you cannot vote in goodness to help people. You absolutely can. I vote every single election. I don't vote for capitalists. But I vote local bills, I vote things to go in, I vote socialist candidates for president, and I vote spending bills for my city, county, and state that help people in need. I want to put that out there, that I am in no way saying, I'm not trying to disenfranchise voters. Everyone should be voting. I have no faith that the system can be reformed from within, whereas I think most progressives do.
Fair. That's a fair point.
And I just think that's the difference in our approaches. And that is not to belittle anyone else's, just that is, I think, that is where we stand. The three of us definitely stand on different points on the left side of the spectrum. And I do not, but I don't believe reformism is effective.
I don't know anymore. I honestly don't. Like, my gut reaction is to tell you, no, we absolutely can still fix things. That's been my stance for a while now, actually. But it gets harder and harder to take that stance when I just see this revolving door of the same old stuff. I mean, it's this weird endless cycle that we go through. We elect the same old centrist that's posing as a leftist. He does absolutely nothing to fix anything that's systemically wrong with this country. The right will constantly paint him as the next Satan socialist that's ruining everything. They put up they put up the worst fascist they can possibly find. The fascist wins because everyone gets complacent and thinks they can't possibly win. They spend 4 to 8 years of just ruining this country. And then the left comes up with the same old person and just like, look at how bad that monster is. You have to vote for us because we're the only ones that can win. And we're the only ones that are going to save you. And then we do it and it's rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
And I've been, and that is the cycle I have seen for my entire adult life. I don't see it ending anytime soon. So it gets harder and harder to stand by this idea that we can change from within when all evidence points to the contrary. And it's sad. It breaks my heart.
We haven't had a more progressive president since Obama. I mean, you could say Jimmy Carter, but even Jimmy Carter presidentially, I think, was less progressive than Obama. As a human being, Jimmy Carter's a badass. But as a president, I don't think he was a terrible president, but Jimmy Carter did not necessarily put through progressive measures. I mean, sure, the guy funded, helped, you know, continue Kennedy's dream of the Peace Corps and some other things, and he was definitely for peace with Russia, that kind of thing, but he also put forth a grain embargo that killed a bunch of people. Like, Carter did some shit. And again, he's a president. I don't expect a president to do everything perfectly, and because they're flawed. I think it's arguable to say that one of the most progressive presidents we've had in a very long time was Obama. And back to the stimulus package, you know, there's this great quote I found from Andrew Yang about Obama bailing out the banks. And it was his criticism of it. And Andrew Yang said, when we had a fundamental choice to either recapitalize the banks or keep Americans in their homes, we chose the banks. We bailed out Wall Street to the tune of $4 trillion.
Yep.
Yeah.
The most progressive people we have still believe in bailing out the banking system.
Yeah.
They still believe in reform.
And that's because they're still the biggest donors.
Yeah. And I think there's multiple reasons. I think it's an onion. I think, yes, we have the banking interests, which you're right, are huge donors to both parties, to all parties.
Yeah.
I think you also have the indoctrination of the American people.
Yeah, 100%.
We spend our entire lives, you know, as children, we stand in school at attention with our hands over our hearts, pledging allegiance to a flag like a bunch of fucking fascists. We're constantly bombarded with ads for the military and the glory of the American Empire. And we're always told that capitalism is the only system that can possibly work and that everything else is communism and bad and awful. And how could they? And we have intelligence agencies that go abroad assassinating anyone who disagrees with us or stands in our way. That's why we're brainwashed since day one to believe that all we need to do is find the right trick to make perfect daddy capitalism work for us. And it doesn't.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. And that's why reformism doesn't work, because the system is inherently flawed and skewed in this way to kill and oppress.
Well, it's what we were talking about last episode too. It's this idea that you hear the same thing over and over enough, and you just start to believe it. Like we mentioned this last episode, where it's like you hear these quote unquote facts repeated ad nauseum from the time you're born, and you just come to accept them as gospel truth. It goes all the way up to the president. Because the thing is you can't have a president that's an expert on everything. He's going to rely on advisors, and they're going to be culpable and things like that. I think a good example is what we've talked about in this episode, this idea of trickle-down economics.
Which has been going on since Reagan.
Yes.
Like, that's when it started. And before that, before all of the tax credits that Reagan gave away with all of the corporations, they were being taxed at like 60 or 70%, the corporations and millionaires.
Jeff Bezos is paying a fortune in taxes right now in a pre-Reagan era.
It wasn't Eisenhower at 90%?
Something like that.
It depends on who you are. But yes, if you made over $1 million, you got away almost everything. Eisenhower was terrific in terms of tax law.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I was going to say is that before that, when we had these much higher tax rates, what people did to gain tax credits, or not necessarily tax credit, but tax shelter, was they put their money back into their business. And they paid employees more. And they invested in their business. nowadays, companies only want to invest in their business if they're going to get more money.
Yeah.
Versus making more money when they invest in their business.
Well, it is and isn't. It's about short-term money. They're beholden to shareholders, and what shareholders want to see is quarterly profits. And the best way to do that regularly is to treat your workers like absolute garbage and milk them for all they're worth, to cheap out on your products, and that will consistently get you more and more money. So much money that you can give one or two guys ridiculous amounts to make that happen and be the fall guy for all this while your stocks go up and you make millions and millions of dollars.
Absolutely. And that is the point, is that CEOs have one job and one job only. That is to increase quarterly profits. You couldn't have put it better. And that is a flawed system. And just like Kay was saying, with, you know, when you actually have this robust economy, people put it back towards their workers, towards building their businesses when it's on a small scale. But in late stage capitalism, money flows one direction. It flows upwards. That's the design. And so to apply money at the top and expect it to flow anywhere else is ridiculous. Money will only flow upwards. And to inject money at the bottom level not only helps everyone along the way, but also helps the people at the top. I mean, that's why Lenin has that beautiful quote of the last capitalist to hang will be the one who sold us the rope.
Yep.
These people are torturing their own customer base. That's how capitalism works. It's this self-defeating system. And the only reason why it is maintained as long as it has is because we have a federal tax-paying system to bail it out every time.
Yeah.
To go back to my original point, that's what I was talking about with trickle-down economics, is we know it doesn't work. We've seen it not working since Reagan's time. We have analysts and data and all kinds of facts and information to back up the idea that this doesn't work. And yet a significant portion of this country just believes implicitly that this is the best way for everyone to rise up.
It's the only way.
Yeah, the only way.
And it's because they're being told that, instead of people having two brain cells to rub together and doing any kind of research or understanding on their own. They just believe the rhetoric because it's easier.
Well, it's another onion thing. It's a multi-layered problem. We've divested in education. We haven't put priority. We've taken civics out of learning, which is another one. People don't understand how the government works, let alone have a good understanding of even basic economics and things like that. And or how to critically think. We teach kids what to think, not how to think.
We teach rote memorization, not how to find an answer.
Yeah, this, and I know this all seems like a divergence to people listening, but it leads us back to the stimulus in a lot of ways, because this is how we got into the situation we are now with the stimulus. This is why we have our leaders settling for $600 crumbs and telling us it's the best we can ever do. It's why we've got a fascist that's doing more to get us more then we have the people that are supposed to be against this kind of thing. You know, we talk about all these things because we need to talk about it to understand how we got to this point that we're at now and why, even if we get this $2,000 increase, it's not enough.
It's an insult.
It's still a slap in the face. That is not even the least they could be doing.
No, it's not.
We as a people need to stand up and start demanding that our elected officials represent us and not the people putting thousands and millions of dollars in their pockets. And until we're willing to do that and hold them accountable, which means, I don't know, maybe not giving them their positions of power, not constantly letting people like Pelosi and Schumer run the party, maybe voting in actual progressives for a change.
So then the question begs to be asked, how do we get states like Kentucky to stop voting against their own personal interests and voting for people like Mitch McConnell that do not care about them, that have not cared about them for a very, very long time, and get them to vote for someone who, even if they're a Republican, because I don't give a shit what, you know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, as long as you give a shit about your constituency and are doing what they want.
It's a populist message. There's a reason why Bernie Sanders was popular among Republicans as well as progressives, because they like his ideas. The right, the left in this country as a whole, take away labels like progressives, liberals, leftists, Republicans, conservatives, take away all those labels. Just pitch people an idea. If it's a good fucking idea, they like it. And I'm sorry, progressives, by and large, are the ones with the good ideas.
Sure. But how do we get places like Kentucky to actually vote in their own interest versus
by
against
putting
them?
Up people that-
No, you torch the culture. That's really what it comes down to. Is
there you go. That's the answer.
The American South has a culture problem. Conservatism is rampant around the world right now, but it's especially problematic in America because we've never recovered from the Civil War. You go to Germany, strap a swastika on your arm, you go to jail.
See how long you last.
Yeah, you go straight to fucking jail because they're done fucking around with that. We didn't. Again, we allow the Klan to exist. We allow the Proud Boys to exist. We recognize the Oath Keepers as a militia, and you can wave all the Confederate flags you want. So no, we need education, we need birth control, we need the liberation of women, and we need voting rights for people of color, and we need to end the segregation of voting districts. That's it.
There you go.
And we need to completely torch the culture. Southern pride is garbage. Get rid of it. And we need to start doing things like prosecuting people for treason when they are. And we need to get it's again, it's cultural.
Yeah.
So you're right. Bernie Sanders and AOC have populist messages that are far more popular than the parties. But the Democratic Party, people in New York City are tearing them down. I mean, so you can't even say that it's like Kentucky that's tearing apart the socialist message. No, liberal Californians are tearing apart the socialist message.
Yep.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to say that that Kentucky was problem.
Of course not. I'm not suggesting that one bit. But what I'm saying is, if we're going to talk about the problem of Kentucky, the problem of Kentucky is not that they don't like Bernie. The problem of Kentucky is they like lynching still.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It is a culture problem. We never torched the culture, and now a completely separate culture has emerged. And again, I vote either we have to start building gulags in Georgia or we let them fucking secede, because at this point it's a lost goddamn cause. America has honestly about 7 or 8 cultures in it, but 2 distinct ones that cannot cohabitate anymore.
Yep.
And I personally believe in letting the South secede, and then they can come back when they're done and have joined the 21st century.
And that may very well be a topic of one of our future podcasts. So let's not blow our load on this one. You know, we talk about the right a lot, but like, again, we live in Southern California. Anecdotally, this is supposed to be the socialist, progressive, liberal haven of the world. And we've got Orange County, which is a big haven for fucking neo-Nazis. Just what's recently, that 14-year-old kid at a hotel in New York that was just like physically assaulted by a woman who was accusing him of stealing her phone with no evidence.
And the phone was later found in Uber or?
Yeah, it was found. It was returned minutes after this altercation happened by her Uber driver.
Yeah.
That chick just released. I don't think they haven't released her name yet, but she lives in California. Like, it exists everywhere, and Chris is right.
And the hotel backed her up. That was the thing, is the hotel manager, I mean, everyone. There was an entire systematic issue where they're like, oh, wait, a black kid and a phone missing from a white lady? Clearly we found out where the problem is. It's not an issue.
The kid to show his phone is proof. There was no evidence to this. It was just a ranting, raving white woman screaming at a kid that he stole her phone, and the manager's like, well, I better check this out. Show me the phone.
Well, and his father is standing there going, we're not showing you his fucking phone because he didn't steal anything. And everybody there is all pointing the finger. And it's because of one racist fucking white lady that can't imagine that she might have lost her phone. She can only see that there's a black kid with a phone that looks similar to hers. And so he must have stole it.
So why don't we move on to some white guy takeaways? Well, Matthew, what do you think about today's topic?
So my white guy takeaway is, you know, to tying it back to we need fundamental change in this country. This stimulus is a joke. Yes, we absolutely should increase it. I'm not saying that, you know, increasing it is a bad idea, but it should be way more than just an increase in a one-time payment. We need big help from the federal government. We need them to stop helping corporate interests above the American worker. We need to pay people to stay the fuck home until this virus is under control. And we need to forego mortgages and rent. Simple as that. Reverend Dr. K, what about you?
You know, the stimulus does a lot of things, and it's meant to help people. It's meant to help the American people. And I think there's a lot of people that had an idea that was really good that went really awry. And the Democrats and the Republicans' refusal to help the American people says a lot about the Democrats and the Republicans in our government. And what it says is that regardless of whether you're left or you're right, you don't give a shit about the people that you should. You give a shit about lining your own fucking pockets. And those people are the ones that are the problem, not necessarily anything else. The policy is not the problem. The problem is the people that are making the policy. And we need to change those people. How about you, Chris? What's your white guy takeaway for today?
Burn it.
Burn it all to the ground. Fuck it.
In all honesty, yes. That is my takeaway here is that I think that we are being told time and time again. You know, there's an old saying that, a really good, smart man once told me was that when someone tells you who they are, believe them. And we are constantly being told who they are. We are being left to die, homeless, without food. They don't care about you. They don't care about your children. We're told that people who are making minimum wage are supposed to have several months' income saved in case of a rainy day. But the second there's a bad week, we have to bail out the auto industry, the airline industry, the banking industry, and fuck these capitalists. We are told time and again how little they give a shit about us and how little our lives and well-being mean to them. And I think it's about damn time we started believing them.
I absolutely agree.
God damn right you do. I'm a genius.
All right, folks. Well, that's our white guy takeaway for today's episode. I'd like to remind everybody, like, comment, subscribe, and share. You can find our link tree in the description below of this episode.
Please come find us everywhere and join us every Monday for another episode of The Alt Left. Come join us for a conversation, agree or disagree, but let's all be part of this conversation.
Some things to look forward to. We will be absolutely getting back to our regular schedule. I know some, I've tweeted it and mentioned it in our social media, but we were off this last week just for the holidays. We've got a couple of things in the works, some interviews with some other podcasters that we're going to try to get those locked in and post those up in the weeks to come.
Beautiful. So yeah, thank you again, everyone. We'll see you next week. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Because remember, kids, the revolution is you.